Accession number 31048, rule 4.
There was something else Hilary mentioned earlier. I don't think she put on here, but she was thinking about his influence behind the camera in organising and inspiring others.
In what terms are you saying organising and inspiring others to get behind a camera, or to using the photographs that he produced to inspire others?
I think you meant in terms of inspiring other photographers and the people he'd worked with or who had been working under him.
I don't know a great amount about that. All I do know is that I'm not certain a lot of things will be passed from one to another. I think it was very much sort of, well, I learned the hard way, you learn the hard way by your mistakes. You know, I'm not certain that there'd be a great amount of passing on of, I think it's the best way if you did this way. I do know, because at the time of the King George VI's death, in 1951 and the funeral cortege, because one of the other illustrated photographers told us, there were about 8 or 9 photographers, star photographers on illustrated at that time, but the only one who had had day-to-day press experience, and especially of royal circuits around London, was my father. And he knew where, on each corner or each position where there was a photographer, one of their photographers was going to be, he knew exactly what was the best time when that carriage came round, what was the best angle to get the best picture of it. And I can't think which, I think it was Peter Waugh. He had us all lined up and said, you're at so-and-so, you've got to wait until the carriage is there with that in the background, and that's the only picture that's worth knowing. He said we were all lined up and told where to take our photograph from. And, you know, that came from experience. And there's one that I'll mention, the Queen Mum. He was obviously in the dark rooms at the time of the Queen Mum's marriage. 23, 24, something like that. And he was let out with the camera. Need to get as many people out as we can. And Queen Mother comes round, past his stand, where there was a few, and it was the bum stand. You know, it was the one which, not really good. But the Queen Mum turns to him and gives that lovely bow of her head, and up went her arm, and he said, oh, I thought, wonderful, I've got the picture of the wedding. Rush back to Fleet Street, in the dark room, they've all got their stuff in the hypo and the developer and all the rest of it, and the fixer and all the rest of it. He said, and we all pulled them out, and every photographer she'd gone past, she'd gone, given the Queen Mum's head on slightly. He said, we're all standing there, we've all got the same picture, but all from different places. So he knew where the places were, and certainly at the time of the King's death, in 1951, they were all told the best place is that angle because you've got Big Ben behind it or whatever it might be.
He would have expected the best of people.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Peter Waugh, I'm sure it's Peter Waugh, said to us, oh, we were all told exactly what to do. There was no sort of, you're on there, get on with it.
Are you much aware of sort of an indirect influence on how other photographers worked and styles of photojournalism and so on?
No, I don't think I'm a good person to comment on that. The only thing I would say is Long Tom in the 30s, in really being the first thing that gave you the telephoto ability of photographing cricket and getting people actually hitting a ball, rather than what I said earlier, Hobbs doing it subsequently. I mean, we've got a picture at home of Fred Perry at Wimbledon, 1935.
It's not the one in there.
It's of the same sequence. But it is a most phenomenal photograph in the fact that it's Fred Perry is off the ground, There is the ball. There is his racket. And his eye is on the ball. And you can see every detail in Fred Perry's arm.
Do you think Jimmy Jarshi influenced
him? I'm sure Jimmy Jarshi influenced him quite a bit. They were very good mates. Jimmy Jarshi was older. He was actually served in the First World War. So he would have been about 10 years older than my father, at least. I think Jimmy Jarshi influenced him, because Jimmy did a lot of stories sort of the in South Wales, you know, the deprivation in South Wales in the late 20s, 30s, when Prince of Wales then said something must be done, you know, and Jimmy did a lot of those stories. For the Daily Herald, which of course was a Labour-funded paper, and naturally that sort of story would be furthered by them. They had their agenda. Fair enough, and I think it was a genuine agenda. But yeah, I think Jimmy Jarshi did. They were very good mates. And my best memory of Jimmy Jarshi is, this would have been just after June War, after War, can't remember when. About that time, anyway. My mother and I went to Fleet Street, and we were going to meet my father in a Lion's Corner House, as we used to have in those days. Do you remember those days? And Jimmy Jarshi, for his spare time, used to do conjuring acts. You know, he was always sort of producing something out of somewhere. And in those days, we didn't have Formica on table, but we had tablecloths. And then we had our teacups. And he used to do this business of pulling the tablecloth off the table and not a crock going on the floor. Oh, hello, Mally. He came in, and off came the cloth. And I'd never seen that done before. Oh, do it again, Jimmy. Do it again, Jimmy. He was that was the sort of fun they all used to get up to with each other. And there was also, I mean, they would get a... It's nothing nowadays what you can do digitally to put a head on somebody else's body. But in those days it was. And they used to sort of get a picture of somebody and fiddle around with it and sort of stick somebody else's head on. Which, you know, it was all by cutting out and playing around with it, not like you do now.
Well, I was just going to ask what your father's attitude towards the relationship between the photographer and the subject was.
Respectful, I think, generally speaking. If he was doing anything like that, Churchill or Montgomery, it would be respectful. But attempting to do the best, both for the subject and or the scene that it is depicting. Quite respectful.
Quite clear direction, sir.
Oh, yes.
You would be told.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes, this would have been 51, when the Queen, before the King died, the Queen was going to go to Kenya, and then was going to go on board passenger ship, the Monarch, I think it was, and go to Australia. And Father was going to cover the tour from Mombasa. He was going to fly out and join the ship in Mombasa. And to cover that, he took pictures of Princess Elizabeth and Prince Philip with Prince Charles in Clarence House before they left to go to Kenya. And, it was sort of, Philip said, what do you want? Well, I'd like settee there or chair there or whatever it was. And Princess Elizabeth came in carrying Anne because she was that much younger. And the royal family, the four of them, well, Anne couldn't, but the three of them, were pushing the furniture around to get the position where they wanted it, and it was Charles saying, Mummy, push. You know, so, yes, I want you sitting there with that in the background or whatever. But respectfully. Could you do this? Could you do that? But certainly, I mean, something like taking on the photographs of the lying in state, the tripod would have been up and looked through and then moved and up and looked through again. You know, it would have gone right round the beer before we got exactly what we were looking for. And don't ask me exactly what that was that we were looking for, but it would have said it in the end. I think we've covered most of the things that Hilary had on her list.